Mihi Nui, and a very good morning to you, Auckland. I'm going to jump straight into my very long interview this morning with Tara Moala from Rako Totoko. Good morning, Tara, and welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you.
No, thank you for coming on. And I must say, doing my homework for this morning's show has actually been really enlightening. You know, we were going to talk about Hub Zero, or at least that's how it started for me. And then I discovered Rako Totoko, which is your baby, isn't it?
That's right.
Give me the once-over on Rako Totoko, because I think that's going to lead us into Hub Zero and all the cool things that are happening out in Tamaki.
Yeah, sure. So Rako Totoko is a collective of community development practitioners, and what we do is we come together and we work alongside communities to build engagement and empowerment in the communities that want us to work with them. So we have quite a few different number of practitioners that have got different skills and expertise. And the way that we work is that we go into a community, and often a community we've already connected to in some way, mm-hmm. and we help to raise tūkana in those communities.
Right. Now, tūkana is my new word for the week that I discovered on your website. And it seems to be a key concept behind the Rako Totoko, and ultimately something helping to drive Hub Zero as well. So tell me, what does that mean? How would we translate that into my Pākehā understanding?
So we're going to have a little bit of a difficult word to be able to translate completely. So in some ways it is a leader. So it's somebody that is stepping up and can lead and is the older person or the person with the most knowledge around something to be able to do something.
Right.
But then on the same side, it's around mentoring as well. So tūkana will always have taina, and taina are people that are have got less knowledge or less skills in something that they're learning from the tūkana. So all tūkanas will always be able to grow and develop their taina, which are underneath them, to be help them to become tūkana themselves. So leadership within Te Ao Māori is very cyclical and is very focused on being able to bring up people from that have got less knowledge to be able to go into those spaces where the tūkana can then be part of. It's traditionally tūkana and taina is based within a whānau setting, so tūkana would be the older sibling, and taina would be the younger sibling of the same sex. But nowadays, we actually use it in the community sense, where we're talking about tūkana of people that are doing things in the community and helping the taina, which are in the same community.
Right. So from the roots of kind of a filial mentorship, it's grown into something a little bit wider to within the whānau and within the community?
Yeah, it's kind of like a mentorship / leadership. Not all leaders can mentor.
That's right.
But tūkanas can. So that's why we use the word tūkana rather than we don't raise leaders.
Right.
We expect them to be able to be doing mentoring as well. So we raise tūkana.
Right.
So that's why I've chosen to use that Māori word instead of a Pākehā word.
So when did you start Rako Totoko?
So we started at the end of 2016.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing a lot of community work before then. I started as a youth worker when I was a teenager and went through social work and community development. But I decided in around about 2016 that I wanted to do something a little bit differently, because I wanted to help other people to do the work that I do and help raise tūkana. And so, we started off, and I've been helping to set up a structure and a system so that the Rako Totoko umbrella can actually be registered as a council vendor, and so we can take contracts
right.
on and things like that.
Okay. Because, yes, your website indicated an awful lot more work than just having been going for a couple of years.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so you've worked in the community development space and what was one of those, I'm going to be terrible, co-design projects or community development projects, community-led development, that's the phrase I was looking for.
Yeah, community-led development is one of the tools of co-design, And it's what it is. It's about making sure that the community are in the driver's seat, and we're just in the passenger, just helping them with directions, really.
Yeah, in a, more of a facilitation role than a, as you say, the driver's seat.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, give me an example of some of the projects you've worked on over the last few years.
Well, one that we're actually working on right now, which is a really cool one, is the Tamaki Youth Wellbeing Project.
Mm-hmm.
And so that one is around raising youth wellbeing in the community of Tamaki, which is Glen Innes, Poyntinglin and Pamua. And it started because of a catalyst that happened at the end of last year around the loss of a high number of youth to suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And so we wanted to be able to, as a community, we wanted to come together and have a united community response to that by growing youth wellbeing. So Rako Totoko's role in that has been that we've been the lead coordinators of the projects, and we've got 8 different ideas, soon to be 9.
Okay.
Yeah, around focusing on how we can build up youth wellbeing.
Right, and what does that mean, well-being? I mean, just in I know it's a big topic, but
it really is, and it's something that a lot of people really struggle with trying to put their finger on. I mean, we have a really, Mason Jury has given us a really beautiful model, which is Te Whare Tapawha. That shares with us 4 different pillars of a whare or a house that we can grow. And if we grow and build those 4 things, then we have good well-being within us. So that's one example. So those 4 pillars are tinana, which is body,
mm-hmm.
Whānau, which is family, hinengaro, which is mind, and wairua, which is spirit.
Spirit, yeah.
So that's one way of looking at well-being. The way that we're kind of looking at well-being is we incorporate those learning as well, but we incorporate more about what is it that our young people need, and what do they feel that they need? So what is it that they feel that they're missing in their lives, and how can we grow that so that they have more spaces to be strong and independent and confident, really empowered young people in our community?
Right, and of course that speaks right to the community-led, because you're going to where they are and finding out where they are and saying, okay, where to from here?
Yeah. So an example of that is that a lot of our young people were saying that in our community, they didn't feel safe. So they didn't feel like they could walk down the streets without being told off, or they didn't have places that they could come and hang out in and things like that. So we've started to create those youth drop-in spaces around the community so they could come and just be themselves.
That's fabulous.
Yeah, we think so.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that sense of safety is fundamental.
Yeah.
There's no other place that you can recover yourself unless you feel safe. You know.
Definitely.
So well done. That's fabulous. Now, that's been going for, what did you say, just under a year or just over a year?
Just under a year. We started on the 20th of October with a large community hui that was out down in Pamua. And since then, we've been working really hard on it. It's a lot of volunteer hours. It's a collective of a whole lot of different groups that have come together. And we actually just received an award just this month from the Life Keepers National Symposium.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
No, that's fabulous. Tell me about Hub Zero and how that came about. That's a little bit older, isn't it?
No, actually. So Tamaki Wrap
is older.
Quite long. Yeah, it's been going for quite a long time. I'm trying to think. I think it's around about 6 years old, Tamaki Wrap. Hub Zero has been going, and the idea has been going for about a year, but we've actually only just opened our doors to Hub Zero on the 30th of June.
Oh, now, isn't one of our new community recycling centres or CRCs that Council's putting together, is it?
It's not.
I didn't think so.
So the CRCs is one way of responding, and those ones are going to be really big, and they've got a lot of funding to be able to set those up, and kind of like biodegradable support will slowly dissipate. We have gotten, we're an independent to all of that. We have, we're purely owned by philanthropic trusts. And we are a collective of groups that are wanting to build up waste-based social enterprises.
Nice.
Yeah, so we really want to create a hub that can really stand on its own feet without any need for ongoing funding. We, of course, need a little bit of funding right now to get our feet on the ground, but then hopefully the end result is that actually the selling of our products and services will keep us afloat independently.
That's fabulous. Now, you say it's a consortium? Or
yeah, it's a collective.
It's a collective, yeah.
Yeah. So we've got quite a few different groups that come in, and they're different roles as well that they have. So we have some anchor tenants, and those anchor tenants actually pay to be based there. And then we also have seedling tenants, and the seedling tenants don't pay in financials, but they pay in volunteer hours.
Sure. Okay, and where are you located?
So we're based in Pamua. We're it's Four Island Road.
Okay.
But it's at the big Pamua roundabout. So if you know Pamua at all, if you just actually just Google Pamua, you'll turn it'll the big Pamua roundabout.
I know the big roundabout, yeah.
Yeah. And there's one road that's got speed bumps along it. That's Island Road. And we're just on the corner there. So if you go into the car yard, which is a bit of a random thing, but if you go into the car yard, we're just at the back of the car yard there.
Right. I know exactly where you're talking about. I hope our listeners do too. Mm. But so you're right in the middle of it.
Yeah, we are.
Right. So what's cooking there now and what have you got planned for the future?
Well, at the moment what we're doing is we're setting up, we've got a few different spaces that are in the hub. So we've got the a shop for all of our different friends and tenants to be able to sell the products that they're creating. So you can come and shop there. We've got FBOS. And we also have a little lounge area for you to just come and chat and talk about your ideas to how you can upcycle and create product and things out of waste. So all of our products, we make sure that all of our products actually have been created from waste to prevent things from going to landfill. And they need to be created to not create more waste out of the creation.
Right.
Yeah. A really important one.
Yeah. Minor detail. But
Yeah. And then we have a workshop space that you can hire out at quite a reasonable rate. And then we have the tenants that are working hard and creating their little products. Some of them not so little.
Awesome. Well, give me an example of some of the products that are currently being produced.
Yeah. So we have quite a bit of clothing and some bags. So we get Multi-Education Support Services Trust is one of our anchor tenants. And so what they do is they take material out of the waste stream. So factories that make things, they have these big reams of material that end up not being used because they don't go through the machines when they're at a certain at the very end of their ream.
All the offcuts and
that's right.
Yeah, and it's all virgin material.
Exactly, and so and even like quilt in the inners, it's the same thing. So at the very end of the product, it's all virgin material, but they have to send it to landfill because they can't do anything with all these little offcuts.
That's right.
So MESST gets all of those products, makes pillows out of them, bags, clothing, heaps of little children's dresses and things like that, and sells them off. And they have volunteers that make those things as well. So that's a really awesome line of waste that we can continue using to prevent it from going to landfill.
That's fabulous.
Yeah. Another group, the Chinese Conservation Education Trust, CCET, they are focusing on electrical appliances. So we're doing one on Saturday, a repair cafe where people can bring their home appliances and they can be fixed. And we're hoping to set those up regularly so that people can come and get their home appliances fixed instead of having to send them to landfill.
That would be fabulous.
Yeah.
Because there's an awful lot of relatively inexpensive appliances that actually could be fixed.
Yeah, definitely.
But we shrug our shoulders and go, I don't know what to do with this, so I'll throw it away and buy another cheap one from wherever.
Yeah, and then that will break in a year's time just out of warranty as well.
Of course.
So, yeah. So we do that. We also have another group that's really unique. It's called USS. It's the United Sustainable Sisters. And what they do is they create menstrual products. Well, some of it they create and also some of it some other people create. Mm-hmm. So they have menstrual cups and menstrual pads. which can are reusable. All of it's reusable, and so you can just buy this one product and then reuse it every period.
That's fabulous.
Mm.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
And so how would somebody get in touch with them if they were interested in those products?
Yeah, so we have got several different ways. You can come in to our hub and have a chat to anybody. We're open Monday to Thursday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And if anybody's willing to volunteer their hours, we're actually really keen to open up more than that. But until we get more volunteers, these are the hours.
Right.
And then the other way is Facebook, Instagram. We're HubZeroNZ, or our website, which I'll just get it right to make sure that I tell you the right one. HubZero.co.nz.
HubZero.co.nz. Fabulous.
Yeah.
Fabulous. And would you put them in the post if somebody asked?
Oh, of course.
Just checking.
Yep. And we'll do paper or card packaging to make sure that none of that goes to them as well. Just make sure that they recycle it on the other end.
Sure. Now that's great. Because it's such an opportunity. There is so much that goes to landfill that can be replaced with reusable stuff, including nappies. And one of my previous interviews was with Kate Meads, the nappy lady.
Oh, yay. I love her.
Yeah, I love her too. She's fabulous. And we had a wonderful chat about moon cups and all these reusable products. And, well, it was educational for me, but more importantly, it was educational for our listeners. And people got in touch and said, where do I get them?
Awesome.
That's why I asked you.
Yeah, so you can. You can get them from us, so you can just look us up.
And sure.
We'll get you in touch with that social enterprise. I think the beauty of this is that also that all of these different groups are wanting to set themselves up so that they're independent by themselves, you know, like so that they can keep going. And so the more that you support people that are social enterprises or local small businesses, then the better it is going to be for the whole of the economic world, you know?
Yes. Well, New Zealand is built on small businesses and small enterprise.
Yeah.
And everybody should have a go.
Yeah, I reckon too.
Why not? Mm-hmm. Why not? Something that caught my eye when I was doing my homework was you had worked previously with Play Center.
Yeah.
Tell me about the Pacific Island Play Center and exactly what you did there.
Yeah. So Play Center is a wonderful organization. I took all of my children to Play Center, all three of them. And so I was there for 8 years at the Glen Innes Play Center. And while I was there, we really noticed that there wasn't too much within the kaupapa or the maybe the culture of Play Center for Pacific whānau. So my husband is Niue in Tongan, and we wanted to do something a little bit differently there. So we worked with Karen Thomas, who was working for Play Centre at the time, the National Centre Base.
Yeah.
And we worked to bring our Pacific whānau together that were based all throughout Auckland and brought them together to talk about how could we create a culture of place at Play Centre that we could actually share our different ways of being and enable Play Centre to be friendly and open to all Pacific whānau and everything that we do.
Brilliant. And obviously it happened and it's been integrated in Glen Innes. And has it gone beyond that?
Yeah, so Karen, because she had a role for Nationwide, she was able to take those models and go into other regional areas and utilise the same ways of working within those other communities as well. So it really is up to each centre, just like any community, it's up to each centre about what they would like to do and how they would like to do it. So being able to have that tool in your kitchen to be able to come out and say, hey, actually, for Pacific whānau, let's do this, or... A really common thing that we found out was, and it kind of makes sense, but it's one of those things that is so much common sense that you just don't do it.
It's obvious in hindsight, yes.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. That's a good statement, actually. Is that Pacific whānau gather around food. And so to be able to always have food available, you know, always have food there and always sitting down. And so when we're doing trainings, having food, when we're doing gatherings about, you know, things, then having food. And the other really key thing that was really obvious in hindsight was it was the involvement of the whole whānau. So So making sure that Nan can come and Auntie can come and Dad can come along, and, you know, like, and it not being just a one parent space, but having a whole whānau approach.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you've just triggered some old memories in me because, well, in my youth, and, you know, this is very American Pākehā culture, there was a great distinction between functions that had food and functions that didn't. And the food was a message about about the level of intimacy of that meeting. Now, that's all gone. That's long gone. That's like a 1960s meme.
Yeah.
And I'm just... You just had me thinking, where did it go?
Yeah.
Where did it go? Because it was part. It was part of my growing up, and it was very. It was very clear when food was involved. It was a far more intimate affair. Even when they were strangers, it was welcoming them into a much closer inner circle.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, food is so important, eh?
It really is. It is, and it's and also the type of food as well. And that and the type of food can be inclusive or exclusive. So if we use food that that particular cultures aren't used to, now if we think about our refugee and migrant communities, and if they walk into a room and they have no idea what that food is that's sitting on that table, that can be really exclusive to them.
They immediately feel like an outsider.
Well, that's right. And that's right. And if they're not sure how to eat it, if they've always eaten with their hands and everybody's using knives and forks. So we need to be really conscious about all that sort of thing, because it, what it does is it enables people to be a part of the community. And so we need to, you know, keep being conscious about it, keep talking to each other about it so that we can keep those doors open for our minorities.
Excellent. Yeah, absolutely. Open those doors.
Yeah.
Now, you're triggering other memories in me from times overseas, but I won't go there. tell me about the heart movement and heart movement change agents. What is a heart movement change agent?
Heart movement is such a special, it's got a special part of my in my soul, really. I've been a part of the heart movement for a long time. It started off with my when I had my firstborn, so that's, you know, 8 years. So heart movement is around healthy relationships and tamaki.
Okay.
And what that means is what we're wanting to do is we're wanting to have every single household in Tamaki to have healthy relationships within it, and therefore there's no room left for domestic violence or family violence. Yeah. So it's a strength-based approach to it, like the It's Not Okay campaign. So there's, you know, like, and it's fantastic to have other initiatives that are happening that focus specifically on preventing family violence or stopping family violence.
Right.
But our one is strength-based, and it's about promoting healthy relationships.
Very good.
So how do we do that? We do that through the people. So we can't do that through big campaigns and posters. Those things will help, but they're not. They don't really get into the homes.
Raising awareness only raises awareness. It doesn't get into the home. I agree.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So what we do is we help to create heart change agents. And so change agents are people that are wanting to start conversations in their community. And they're not meant to just, like, stand up in the middle of parks and start talking to strangers.
Right.
They're meant to talk to their neighbours. They're meant to talk to their brothers and their sisters and their mates and talk about what are their relationships like and how can they seek help.
So we are back to the concept of tuakana.
Yeah, exactly.
Just checking in. Okay.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yep. And it's actually a really humbling experience to be a change agent, because we have to actually look at our own relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to say to ourselves, actually, I'm not perfect either.
No, and violence takes so many forms, many of which are very, very subtle. Very subtle.
And it's a journey, and some of it has. And we were just I was just at a heart kore group. So kore groups are little gatherings of people that want to just catch up and support each other and how we do. So this particular kore group is for women of Tamaki, and we gather on a Friday morning down at Trifusion Cafe, which is at Mayfair Place in GI in the middle of Glenelis.
Yep, I know.
Oh, you know it? Great. And it's open to all women, anyone that wants to come, and any woman that wants to come. And we just sit down and we just ask, how are you? How was life? And we talk today about mummy, which is hurt. So it's emotional hurt within us. Mm-hmm. And how can we move Mamai out of us? So we get quite deep.
Yeah. And processing hurt is actually a big deal.
It really is.
Because we can hang on to it for a long time, long after the initial injuries moved on.
Well, actually, within my understanding, we can hold on to it through whakapapa. So we can hold on to mamai that has happened in the past to our grandparents, and it's passed down to us. I've done some research with Skip, actually, helped us fund this one, and it was around toxic stress and how toxic stress can be passed on through generations. So Māori have always known this. We call it mamai, and it's passed through whakapapa. But now there's new research that's been done, and it's called toxic stress. So.
Well, lots of traditional wisdom gets renamed and recategorized with fancy Latin words all the time.
Yeah.
Rediscovered.
Right. Yes, that's right.
You know, like Cook discovered New Zealand. Really? Yeah. Really, did he know? Well, yes, he did, for him and his culture, but did he discover it?
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
No.
Exactly.
And, right, so the Heart Change Engines program still goes.
Yes, it still goes. It's alive and kicking. We also have Friday night community dinners, and so that's open to anyone that come along and have a feed down at the Panmure Hall. And we're going there this afternoon at about 3:30. We go rock on down and catch up with a whole other change agents and see each other. It's a small group, but they're lovely.
So right, but the mutual support is what the change agents need to keep going.
It's networking the networkers, nurturing the nurturers.
And
I was talking to Stephen, who set up the Montessori High School in Panmure, and he shared that for Carl with me today. I thought that was really cool.
Yes. Well, what people forget is that the people who work with people who are hurting absorb some of that hurt.
Yeah.
Simply by contact.
Yeah.
And then they have to process it separately.
Yeah.
And, yes, networking with the networkers is the way to process that.
That's right.
And acknowledge that actually that wasn't my hurt, that's somebody else's, and perhaps I've made a difference.
Yeah, and letting that go, so that we're now ready to move on in our own lives.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So before we run out of time, which we're getting close, tell me about Tamaki Wrap.
Oh, yes. So Tamaki Wrap has been going for, I think it's been about 6 years, and it's a charitable trust now. It's based in Tamaki, in Glenelg's Point in Panmure. And what we do is we educate our communities on how to reduce waste.
Yep.
And so we support groups, we support individuals, and we support anybody that's interested in waste reduction. So Hub Zero falls underneath Tamaki Wrap, and so does the United Sustainable Sisters.
Right.
And then we also do plastic-free campaigns and plastic bag, you know, campaigns.
Which have been reaping success.
Yes, it's been fantastic. I really do believe that all the tiny little conversations that we have culminate into bigger things, and then those bigger things all join up, and that's why there's been a big movement in the government, because of all our, you know, my conversation I had with my neighbour.
That's right. Yeah. And, the real change happens in communities, and quite often business will follow next, and then government.
Yeah, that's right. And that's what happened, isn't it, with the plastic bags, which is great.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So Tamaki Wrap is, we've got a whole lot of locals that come together. We've got wrap champions that run out around and tell people and show people how to do things, and they have little projects that they focus on. We've got one that's in the local schools at the moment, helping with the getting in some garden beds and teaching the kids about how to separate the right recycling bin, rubbish.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. So heaps of different little projects, which are great. So I focus on just Hub Zero, but we've got quite a few other people that are focusing on all these different little projects as well.
Cool. Well, I'm afraid we're going to have to draw a line under it because our half hour is done and they're going to want to steal this studio from me.
Yes, no, that's fine. And I hope that, all the tuakana out there can feel inspired to be able to keep going and keep building up their taina around them.
Amen. Kia ora.
Kia ora.
Kia ora.
Thanks for listening. If you've missed anything in today's program, don't forget, you can listen again online at any time. PlanetAudio.org.